Hi, good evening, everybody. This is W2TTT for K2BAR, the amateur radio station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Anybody with emergency or priority traffic before we begin, please call K2BAR. Okay, well, nothing heard, so let me explain. Everybody who's licensed to transmit in the 2-meter band is welcome to come and play with us on the TechNet. Not need to be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. In fact, you don't even need to have a question or a comment. We would like you to check in, however, if you're listening, because we find that very often we can ask you a question that might inspire something for others to learn about. So whether or not you have a question or a comment, feel free to check in, and you need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. TechNet is set up so that you can ask any question about amateur radio, electronics, communications, anything that supports that, including computers, all that good stuff. So it's a pretty wide open field of questions that we entertain here. It could even be operational things, so it has to be, if you will, technical with a capital T. Be technical in that it's just of interest to radio amateurs or people interested in those kinds of things. So, in order to begin, in an orderly way, we're going to start with a November call today. What the heck, we'll do November calls. Any November call, please check in with your name, your call sign, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is Ed Gloria. One comment. Question. Same thing.
Got it. No problem, Noel. Good evening to you. Any other November calls? Okay. How about alpha calls? Anybody with an alpha call, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, or whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above. Okie doke. Next station would be ELO calls tonight. ELO. Call K2BAR. Call, find name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above.
This is K2ZO. Jim, yes, and I have questions and comments.
No questions or comments.
I got two stations. K2ZO with a question and a comment, if I heard that right. I got that. And K2PUIV, Richard, good evening to you as well, with no questions or comments. So, let's see. Welcome to you both, and who is next in the with Kilo calls? Anybody, please call K2BAR.
BAR, this is K2AMI, Tony.
Any question, comment, confusion?
Confusions, but no questions or comments tonight.
No problem, very good. Welcome to you. Any other Kilo calls, please call K2BAR.
KA2BDU, no question at this time.
Good evening, Helmut. Good to hear you as well. K2BDU acknowledged. Any other stations, Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Any whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Call sign name and whether or not you have a question or comment.
This is W2JEK, Don, no questions or comments.
Don got you, W2JEK, welcome aboard. Anybody else? Alrighty. Any other call signs, questions, or any other call signs with questions, comments, or none of the above? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, well, let's see. Noel, we'll start with your comment, and then we'll go to Jim's questions and comments. So let's try it that way. And to what we know, K2BAR.
Okay, I got one of these wondrous new dual banders called the IC208H. And you know, nowhere in here can I see how to set a reverse for a repeater. Often the time, I'm wondering if I'm close to somebody who I hear talking, and am I crusty old 25-year-old rig. I push the button at the reverse, and I hear the input. I say, oh, yes. I can't hear him, or I can hear him, you know, whatever. It's not available on these new rigs. So what I was thinking is Mr. Jim there suggested that I believe it was him, that I program the odd channel with the repeater and then the next channel up with the reverse in without a tone so I could hear. That was one question. The other question is, I've got 512 memory channels. Does anybody have any pre-existing logical arrangement? Like, would you put all the 2 meters in 1 through 100? Would you put all 220 and 2 to 299? And would you put 440 and 4 to 499? And police, fire, whatever else from 301 to 399? What kind of arrangement would has other people used? Back to that. This is N2OEM.
A really good question. How does one set up your memories? I guess first thing first, if you don't have a reverse button, you have plenty of memories, then by all means, you know, for the common ones, set it up so that you have the inverted set, or the pair inverted, in alternate memories. That's pretty cool. That's a good idea. As far as banking your memories by band for a multiband transceiver, I think the method you proposed is kind of interesting. Why the heck not? And last but not least, I also program a bank of simplex in one place. That's what I do with all the normal simplex channels for whatever band or whatever bands the radio will do. On my 220 rigs, I have two DR-135s, 235s I should say. I set them up so that all the local repeaters are programmed in, and if there's two in the metro area on opposite sides, I just put them in sequential memory.
Are you answering the phone or waiting for me to respond?
Go answer. Answer the question or respond to it, as you might.
Something like that. The other thing that amazed me, I was looking at the amateur band plan on a nice little chart from ICOM, and I, you know, we know about 146.52, we know about 446.00 being the universal calling frequencies for those two bands, but according to this ICOM band chart, 433 to 435 is FM simplex, and 445 to 447 is FM simplex, which is a heck of a lot of FM simplex. And on 2 meters, 144.9 to 145.2 is simplex, 145.5 to 145.8 simplex, 146.4 all the way through 146.61, so 146.61. And also 147.39 to 147.6. So there's a heck of a lot of FM simplex here. I always thought, you know, it was 146.5 through to, you know, 146.60. But there's a really big band of simplex frequency.
Okay, well, remember, ICOM is publishing a chart for the United States, if not all of North America. So there's some local conventions. Around here, a lot of those frequencies you mentioned are either weak signal bands, or they're used by packet, or they're used by other things other than FM voice. So you got to be a little more savvy about that. I know if you used FM between 431 and 433, in a lot of places, let's say around here or in Philly, you'd probably cause some screaming and gnashing of teeth and such. Truth is, you probably could use FM, you know, in some of that spectrum, but you got to leave a good chunk of it for weak signal operations and other things. You got to be really thoughtful about that. As far as the 2 meter part goes,
a lot of the spectrum you mentioned is a variety of things. And then over in the city, everybody does what the hell they want anyway, which is a nightmare. I mean, things show up on your signal portion. Every so often, I'll be on 144.200 and I'll hear FM. I'll tune it in, I'll swing the antenna toward the city, and magically I got, you know, a couple of guys on handy talkies talking back and forth. They have no clue. They're like on 205 or something. Anybody else have comments? Please call K2B Air.
Checking in. No question at this point.
Okay, NS2K acknowledged and logged in. Who is the station with a comment?
This is W2JK.
Head down.
I just have a clip out of a, made a copy of a ARRL frequency chart here. Basically, it's for 2 meters. It's got the, it shows the repeater outputs on the 146 megahertz range, the outputs, it shows the inputs, and then in between it says several frequencies. 146.40, 146.43, 146.49, 146.52, 55, and 58. And it says the reserve for direct communications. Now, I know that 146.49 has an input, is the output of a repeater that inputs on 147.49. Now, push comes to shove. I know that the FCC will tell somebody that's an uncoordinated repeater to get out of a, you know, stop interfering with a coordinated repeater. But I'm wondering if somebody using a simplex channel, like something reserved for a simplex channel, is being used by a repeater. I wonder who's going to win out on that. What's your opinion? This is W2JK.
I can actually tell you the answer with absolute certainty. If the band plan is local and customary to the community and it's accepted part of the fabric of the community to have a coordination body, if they decide to put a repeater there and there's still adequate resources available for simplex, then the simplex operators will be considered the interfering parties. Period, by the end.
Because I know one time the guys were doing in April, the March of Dimes walk-a-thon, I think it was, were using a frequency that turned out to be somebody was using a repeater on, and I thought it was a simplex.
This is why when Barra goes out and decides that they want to use certain frequencies for, let's say, VHF contest for FM, I'm rather adamant about making sure that you're on a standard raster. The 15 KC raster is normal in the 146-147 meg spectrum. And the, of course, the 20 kilohertz raster, with a couple of exceptions, being split off to reduce interference on coordinations that were done in error. But, you know, they decided to leave the repeaters there and they split them both 5 kilohertz. Plus or minus to reduce interference. Then other than those, again, there are always exceptions to rules, but, you know, fundamentally, we live in a 15 or 20 kilohertz raster plan with a couple of embedded 1 meg splits. So in the case of the 1 meg splits, the 15 kilohertz raster is respected with respect to the 146 meg output frequency, and then the inputs are a little out of sorts in the 147 meg spectrum, but not to a point where it's going to be a problem. For the adjacent repeaters or other operations. Is there someone else who had a question or about this or a comment about this? Hey, Noel, there's your answer.
W2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, in other words, for RFM operations at Barrow, and we should be using we would use 146.55 or 58 or one of those frequencies rather than, let's say, 146.57. Would that be? I know Tony was recommended 146.57 for some reason, and I guess everybody in Barrow knew 57, but the people that we would want to contact on the other frequencies.
would be on the other frequencies, maybe. So we're sort of, I think, limiting ourselves if we use one of those oddball frequencies, like the net.
I remember Tony had a reason for it, and he's here, so he can explain it, maybe, but the standard frequencies in this area, in the 146 region, are 146.52, 146.535, 146.55, 565, 58. You don't get 595 because that's a repeater output, and paired up with 147.595, but for repeaters area. Similarly, 146.49 and 505 are not available because they are repeater outputs, again, coupled with inputs above. Some areas of the country have, by the way, redone their entire plan to 20 kilohertz. They're happy with that. Others have different plans. There's some really oddball plans out there, too, by the way, some parts of the country, but you know, we're pretty blessed. We have a highly embedded base of repeaters. Let me throw it over to Tony for his comments. Tony, why 146.57? I remember you did have a reason. I thought I had a different reason that was more compelling and kind of along the lines of what Don was saying, but neither here nor there. I'm just kind of curious what your reason was since Don brought it up.
K2BAR, this is K2AMI. Am I okay in a repeater?
Q5, old man.
Very good. I remember using 146.57 because somebody mentioned it would be a good frequency, and of course I discovered it was not part of the 15 kc raster, as you call it. But I found that there wasn't anybody there. there was somebody on 58, and there was somebody on 55, and this just happened to fall in between. Some people were a little annoyed who were on those frequencies, but you could get a signal through without any problems for our purposes. Again, we're operating low power, walkie-talkies on a probably river edge run, and I thought it was an opportunity to pick a frequency that would not interfere with other people who are on the other frequencies who are operating much higher power. If it's wrong, we'll correct it, but it worked for me.
Okay, well, again, 565 would probably be, I mean, I'm sure the guys on 58 were not very happy about you being on 57, and, you know, I can understand that. But part of it also is that, you know, making those stations available to other operators, one of the key points about the rover operation is you can't have captive stations. It's always important to have stations not in your club, in your log, or in the log of the guys who are giving you, you know, shall we say, dedicated points. They got to appear in some other people's logs, too, otherwise, you know, subject to sanctions or ultimately rule changes if need be. So anyway, neither here nor there, but that's the long and short of it. Anybody else with comments? Okay, by the way, just a reminder, after we get done with Jim's question and comment, which I think I understand about, and I did do some homework, by the way, Jim, for our conversation. We're going to fire up the 2-meter sideband and the 6-meter sideband rigs, play with those a little bit, just to give a chance to rock and roll. So if you have those bands, those capabilities, power your radios up and get situated, it's going to be an interesting ride. So, Noel, over to you, K2BAR. Are we Noel challenged? Okay, we'll remove the K2ZO. K2ZO, K2BAR. Your question, your comment first, then your question, maybe.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Yeah, just the comments on the fact that we do have a net. It's on at 8:30. Ben was not able to run it tonight, and I ran it, and we did not have very many check-ins. 441.100 PL4A, and if you can get on there, get on and say hello. But it's a baronet, and but there's not a whole lot of folks on there. And other than that, I'd like to bring up some questions about software-defined radio.
Just to clarify, it's 444.100, Jim?
Did I say 441? Sorry about that. 444.100.
8:30 on Thursday, just before this, and it's a wonderful idea. I was munching down dinner during that point, so I happened to get up here, and I was a minute late, as Noel was kind enough to point out to everybody. So, very good, and maybe next week we'll that as part of the net. That might be fun. I'm not set up for it right this second, but we will be. So we'll remind people how to program the radios for 444.100. PL is 141.3, just like this repeater. It's pretty straightforward. So your question, Mr. Joyce.
We have had a number of people who have asked about software-defined radios. I'm no expert. I watched Jerry NO2T build a couple of them. I know some of the earlier versions of them were one-band or two-band radios. I do believe they now have some all-band type software-defined receivers and or transceivers. In my case, I'd like to build a receiver first. But the question that I really had was, I don't think a lot of people understand what you really need in the way of a receiver in terms of a sound card and things like that. I realize that that makes a big difference as to the performance of one of these things. And I know that there's a group, Soft Rock, that sells a lot of the kits. I understand that a lot of them are sold out right now, but what we'd like to do is see if we can figure out what we want to do and kind of get together and do a group purchase. But my question is, who else makes these things? Are there a number of people making these kits, or is it all just the software, software rock group? Go ahead.
Well, no. I found a 10-meter kit, transceiver kit. I said 10 meter. I'm sorry. I wish it was 10 meters. A 10 megahertz transceiver kit covers about 48 kilohertz of the band, which is virtually the whole thing. And it's called a Firefly, and that's pretty spiffy. It's got 2.5 watts output. One single board does not look particularly difficult to assemble. In fact, it looks painfully easy to assemble, frankly. So I think there's some potential there. Now, just to bring things up to speed, let's understand what we mean by a software-defined radio. You get an RF deck, either a receiver or a transmitter or a transceiver, that does not have on it a microphone, a speaker. Tuning knob can be added later, but you basically use a PC for that as well. In fact, everything beyond the IF, the low IF, is put into your computer sound interface. So the demodulation or the modulation, as the case may be, is done in your sound card. So any halfway decent sound card will work fine. And basically you control your frequency from your computer through the interface, as well as putting your modulation in and undemodulated signal out, and therefore demodulating on your sound card. And what's really neat about this is if your computer is fast enough, let me drop it.
Comment.
Oh, 1 second, let me just finish one thing. If your computer is fast enough, you can decode and even provide multiple signals at the same time. Interesting thought. NS2K, go.
NS2K. Yeah, oh, just a request, actually, primarily for Gordon. And actually, Don had the same problem. But Gordon, please, please speak to the microphone. You're so low. I'm here mobile with a pretty high noise floor, and it's really hard to hear you. If I turn the volume all the way up, the squelch tail is so loud it like rattles the windows, and I can still barely hear you. Anyway, just a request. Thanks, NS2K.
Your requirements. Everybody down on the floor now?
So
Okay, that should help. I switched radios. I'd forgotten I was using my little hand mic thing, and I've been in my mobile all day with my Olenco. Of course, my Olenco's got screaming loud audio, but my ICOM 2100 does not. Okay, so vendor one is Firefly, vendor two is SoftRock, and now I did find a third vendor. I'll go look around, but I did a couple of different Google searches. I did SDR kit, I did SDR transceiver, SDR receiver. There's also, and don't get too excited about this, guys, there's a 2-meter transceiver that is software-defined radio. It was designed in 99, or published in 99, and kits were available through AMSAT, I think. Tapper, through Tapper. Unfortunately, key components are no longer available, therefore you can't buy that kit anymore. But anyway, I think you just hit on the, for the receiver, Jim, the SoftRock 40 is your basic, you know, under $20 little toy that is fully functional and gets you accustomed to the, you know, demodulation, and by the way, simultaneous demodulation of multiple signals using your sound interface to do that. So let's start there with that, and then I'll shut up for a bit and let you go on. K2ZO, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, K2ZO. You got a little too much audio now. The question I had was, is there an old band, a receiver? I know a lot of these kits only cover a certain frequency, but I was under the impression that they now had something that was a full, 3 to 30 megahertz type receiver. Am I wrong?
I think the problem is that they're not kits. I think that's the problem. They're radios. There is one radio that comes as a semi kit. Was it the 1000? Is it the SDR-1000, I think. Let me go look. We can look at that as a possibility.
Comment.
Hey, Jim.
Well, SoftRock does have a sort of synthesized arrangement. I think it might be transmit and receive. It certainly is receive, but does multiple bands. They are separate little filter decks for the receive side, different bands. But there's a little synthesizer chip that no one, well, they're having a bit of a time interfacing, put it that way. It has some peculiarities to it that give a wide, receive range within a band and, again, over multiple bands. And it's only slightly more expensive than the real inexpensive single band job. But there's some very nice commercial built units from Flex Radio and others. They have a new one rack unit thing, less than a rack wide, that looks pretty impressive. But anyway, let me shut up. Give it back in a suitcase.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the amqrp.org site, and I do see that they have a functional module to generate a good quality RF signal from 1 to 60 megahertz on a 1 by 2 inch PC board, and that's nice. Battery supply from 8 to 12 volts, and they have some stuff there on that. Let's see. It's funny. Their main page doesn't show the SoftRock 40 itself. I did a Google search on SoftRock 40, space 40, and there's a very nice page on that, and in fact, not only from this group, but several others as well. So that's something to think about looking into. But I haven't seen a transceiver per se. I know they were talking about one, but I haven't seen the transceiver yet from them. As I say, the Firefly transceiver is a 30 meter radio. And of course you can't use it for sideband there, but you know, the software doesn't know what you're doing. I mean, you could use it for CW, you know, PSK31, all sorts of good things like that. And the 2.5 watts on a couple of small PC boards, that's not too bad. K2ZO, K2BR. Also, 30 meters is a good band.
Yeah, it is, if you operate CW, yeah. But the question that I had was, is there something available that the general coverage is receiving? I don't care about transmitting right now. I'd expect to have a general coverage receiver next to my computer upstairs that, you know, I could hook on and just listen around with a piece of wire in the attic or whatever, or even hook up to one of my other dipoles or something like that. And I didn't really see what I was looking for. I realize it's got to have some bandpass filters in the front end and a few other pieces of hardware, but that's basically what I was thinking about building, but I'm not so sure that they really have that right now.
Okay, to Zulu, Charlie. Good, I was hoping you'd be in here.
Yeah, I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago, and I hear you talking about the soft rocks. There's a receiver available. I'm trying to find the web page now. I'm having a little trouble with my computer. If you can stand by for about 5 minutes and let me find the page out, I'll get that to you.
Okay, he's looking for a general coverage receiver, ideally. Some of us are looking for transceivers. Okie doke. Alrighty. So, Jim, one of the thoughts I had was to take a 10 megahertz transceiver like the one I mentioned a minute ago, the Firefly, and dump it into a transverter and put it on other bands. That might be, you know, basically it becomes an IF, and you build a high-performance front end for, let's say, a higher band, because as you know, 9 or 10 megahertz, whatever, depending, it's a common IF band, so, in the old days, so, you know, why not, with good filtering, you know, you could make a heck of an IF strip and then plug it into, you know, plug it into, let's say, a 6 meter or a 2 meter, frequency, RF deck. Just a thought. In any case, I think your best bet to start with might be something like a SoftRock 40, though, if you just want a receiver, because if nothing else, with a 40-meter transceiver, 40 meters is pretty much open all the time, has lots of stuff on it, has got broadcasters, it's got PSK31, it's got CW, it's got phone, it's got radio, all that good stuff.
Okay, to Zulu, Charlie.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, the SoftRock 40 is no longer available if you're talking about that little one that plugs into your USB port for power. I had all those, I brought mine to Kitnight last Tuesday. I brought my transceiver. I had two transceivers, the SoftRock transceiver, the RX-TX version 6.1, and that covered 80 and 40 meters. 48 megahertz window on each of those bands. And the version 6.2 covered 20 meters and 30 meters. However, those are no longer available. The new SoftRock transceiver is the RX-TX Plus XTOL, it's called, and that's got the synthesized programmable oscillator in it. That's a version 6.3. That is available. That covers 160 meters, the whole band, every frequency, 160 meters up to 10 meters. And it plugs into, oh wait, I'm wrong on that. That will cover, well, I guess it will cover everything. You have to switch the frequencies, your center frequencies, with a four-position dip switch, and that'll change your... Did I time out?
You did. What is the, how do you spell XTAL?
Let me give you a website where you can look at these things. http://GOLDDREDGER video. It's golddredgevideo.com/WB5RVZ. Want that again?
Okay, I have Gold Reg, G O L D R E D G E video, is that right? .com/WB5 again?
G O L D D R E D G E R, Gold Dredger video, .com/WB5RVZ.
Romeo Victor Zulu?
That's correct.
We're there. I wonder why this didn't show up in any Google searches. This is awesome. Okay. So, Jim, I think this is what you were looking for.
Good. Send it to me.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. K2ZO@AOL.net.
That's good. No problem. Yeah, I thought that I'd like to start off just something to fool around with as a general coverage receiver. I mean, I got plenty of transmitters here. And I'm not so sure the IMD on some of these things is all that good that I would want to take that low power and really bring it up. Just a little bit wary about that.
I believe the IMD is 117.
If that's indeed the case, that's pretty damn good.
Okay, who else would like this website so I can send it once?
And that's 2K.
2K, I got you. Anybody else?
K2MI, ARL.net.
Tony, got you. Anybody else?
I'll send you some more websites. There's the Yahoo group site for the SoftRock 40, and that's where you can get all the information, all the files and everything, including this. This page comes from there.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'll email you all the addresses I have. The most valuable site is the Yahoo group site for SoftRock 40. And that's where I get you go to their files. You have to join it. You know, give them a username and a password, and once you're into their site, there's a wealth of information. That's where I got this site from. This is the builder's notes, really, for the SoftRock kits, and all the information on what kits are available, and all their files with all the schematics and everything else is at that site. So I'll send that to you, Gordon, and you can send it out to everybody else.
No problem, Dave. Thank you very much for coming in. I'm really glad you were here. This is a really interesting site and has lots of options. You know, my personal interest in this is primarily 40 meters. Pardon me. But, you know, it could be any band. And the idea is to literally plug the transceiver into the back of my computer, or nearly the back of my computer, if you will, and just string a wire with a tuner and rock and roll. I mean, wouldn't that be, like, way cool? You know, on PSK31 or CW or something. That's kind of where my head's at. You'll see that there's plugins for HF band, for HF bandpass filters and the like, so that you can pretty much get your act together. Also, I'm looking at that dip switch complex on the RXTX plus XTAL, and I'll tell you, it's just screaming for me to, you know, run that through a, maybe bits on a parallel port or something like that in order to drive that without having to actually go out and flip the switches. yeah. This is excellent. This is very, very cool. What they do with those, by the way, is you flip the dip switches to move the center frequencies, because the TCXO only has so much ability to QSY. So that's pretty cool. K2ZO, it's your game. W2TTT. Bring K2BAR.
Okay. Well, that sounds very interesting. And, of course, the site is really very interesting, and we'll pass that on. Yeah, I'm trying to convince a few people that we'll be able to do this at Kent Night, and perhaps bring in a couple of computers and hook it up and make it work. I think this would be a great, great project, especially when, you know, a whole group of people build the same thing, because you really do learn. And so I think that's going to be kind of fun. So we'll see. But for my own use, I thought, you know, perhaps I'd like to start out with, at this point, a general coverage receiver. And maybe one of these days I'll get a Flex 500, huh? Or 5,000.
5,000, yeah. That's sweet radio. I know guys who have them. After having a Flex 1,000, or an SDR 1,000. It seems to me the RXTX Plus XTAL kit price is $50. Additional PA and filter units are $15 a piece. So, for instance, if you wanted to go to a third band, I guess it would be. For some reason, they're saying a third band. It would only cost you $65. So that's pretty cool. They explain the whole thing under the transceiver section. The 6.3 is multiband is well described here. And so I think, look at the whole thing. If you want all HF bands, the kit price is $110. You know, that's pretty amazing. I didn't look at the power output, but it's 1 watt. So a 1 watt transceiver, what a kick that would be. You do need a stereo sound card, but I don't think that's a problem given our current state of affairs on computers, so I think we're okay.
Comment.
Go ahead, Dave.
This is K2 Zulu Charlie. Actually, for a transceiver, you need two sound cards. You need a stereo sound card to receive. You need a stereo sound card to receive and transmit for each of them. But you do need two sound cards. And they have to be 24-bit cards. And you need a rather fast computer. An old computer isn't going to work. It's going to have to run at least a gigahertz speed. And as you said, the dip switch is almost passe. There are guys working on it. In fact, there's a beta version kit out now that I think all the frequency is done through the computer. You just...
Dave, when you pick it up, when you come in, let the repeater drop, because you tail-ended me. I said go ahead, because I tail-ended you, and then you tail-ended me again to talk, and you didn't leave yourself any clock time, buddy. I know why it happens. You're going back and forth. The two of us made two transmissions apiece, so anyway. So, yes, the you'll see on this website, Jim, Dave said, there's an XTAL Plus Lite version 9.0 multiband. It's a receiver. And the whole thing is done in software. There is a requirement to manually change the bandpass filters, but it's 1.8 to 2.2, 2.2 to 9, 9 to 20, and 20 to 30. I guess the whole thing is $44. That's not bad. That's pretty cool. All right, let's go back to anybody else who wants to make a comment. K2B Air. Okay, well, I'll be honest. The idea of being on 80 and 40, to me, for my purposes, is probably ideal. And, God knows I'd like to have something that I could use on the higher frequencies as well. But, for portable use with 1 watt, I'm not looking for miracles. I'm looking for, you know, well, maybe I am, but I would do it with PSK-31 and CW most of the time. But it would make a great demonstration of single sideband as well, so, or AM broadcast or whatever. I'm kind of curious, does anybody know if there's a DRM software module so you could do digital radio using SDR?
Now that'd be interesting.
You know, the boy's thinking. I think there is a DRM capability out there, Jim. Someone has done it. All right, let me ask Dave a question. Dave, let me understand. To receive, you still need two sound cards, or are you using one side? Are you using one basically as a transceiver, or I should say a receiver demodulator, and the second channel to actually then handle the resultant data? Is that what you're doing?
Well, you can't receive and transmit. The card can only do one thing at a time. I have heard of people using two sound cards and then hooking them up with virtual cables or something, but it gets quite confusing and never seemed to work right for anybody. I think you need a rather high quality sound card for receiving, and it's not really for transmitting. Transmitting, you'll be using the same sound card. It's to hear. It's so you can hear what's coming out of it. I think one sound card can be low quality. It can be an onboard card, you know, on the onboard motherboard that has the sound card on board. And you get it doesn't even have to be an expensive sound card. A very popular one is the Sound Blaster Vive, a lot of them are available on eBay for about $20. So the most popular, the high quality one is a DX4. I don't know who makes it, but that runs into a couple of $100, and it has a breakout box on it for cables, and uses quarter inch jacks and all that. So I think it's more than it warrants. Some guys go crazy on it, but I'm using a rather cheap sound card here, and it works great.
Yeah, okay. The list price of the Sound Blaster Live 24-bit external USB sound interface is $50. So yeah, $20 is probably very realistic. That's awesome. And what was the other one called? A DX4 sound card?
I'm trying to, my memory stinks. If it happened more than 10 minutes ago, I have trouble remembering it. The best thing is to go to this website, go to Yahoo Groups, and then there go to SoftRock 40, and just give them a username and a password, and you're in. Well, I think they have to accept you first, but you'll be in within a few hours. Someone will send you an email and say you're in, and there's a wealth of information there, a lot more than I don't remember it, but there's a... You go to their homepage, it'll tell you all the kits that are available from Tony Parks. And you go to their files section, and it's got all the schematics. It's got hundreds and hundreds, and actually too much information. It'll confuse you. So, because I'm totally confused on what to do. And they are, it's in the works for computer control of the dip switch. They're going to be, in fact, computer switching of all the programmable power amp coils and bandpass transformers, too. They won't have to be installed manually if you want to change bands. So they're working on that. So it's going to be quite a fully functional receiver when they're done, and transceiver.
Yeah, okay. So... basically, you can get yourself a high-quality transceiver for a couple of bands for around $100 and run any mode you want at 1 watt. That's pretty good. And as we learned that the IMD is down, way down to a dull roar, so that's excellent as well. So let me ask a question. Some of us have talked about using it for a general coverage receiver. Some have talked about it in terms of, you know, just hacking around doing low-frequency experimentation with low power. Some of us have wanted to use some of the more exotic digital modes, maybe even MCOM, you know, type work, because it's really low power. I'm kind of curious what other people might be thinking about. So let me toss that out there, and if anyone else has any different comments about it, feel free to chime in as well. K2BAR.
K2AMI, back to K2BAR.
Go ahead, Tony.
And he has, so for the ground receiver, hooked up on the output of his 940. He takes the IF frequency out of the 940, which, as you know, is a fixed frequency, and he runs it through a software-defined receiver and then back into the 940 again. And he says it greatly enhances the old radio. Again, this is just receive capabilities and improved IF strip by doing it this way. So some radios that do have an IF output, that IF input arrangement can be, you can insert the software-defined receiver in between it. Over.
Okay, Tony, I think you dialed up 185. I think you knocked your frequency down 5 kilohertz because you were popping the fast band, but that's pretty cool. So you take the 930 IF out, run it through the DSP, and then the IF in, you run it right back in, and it cleans up things, allows you to get squirrely with it. You know, that's awesome. Well, that's kind of analogous to what I was thinking about doing as an IF strip for higher frequencies. So why not? You know, what's wonderful about the receive-only option is that it's wildly inexpensive, and, you know, they make, you know, a bandpass filter that will cover everything from 2.2 to 9 megahertz, so that's a good chunk of a shortwave band. In fact, I remember more than one little portable transistor shortwave radio that I had as a kid that's pretty much what it covered. It didn't go any higher. You know, there's some value to that. Anybody else have comments? I have a question for Jim Zetto. Jim, what do you think, what are your project options that are you mulling over at this point for everybody to do the same thing if we did? What would those options include?
I'm sure that we'll have people wanting different things. As I said, in my case, I would like to fool around with a little general coverage unit. It's something that you could take somewhere, you know, just with your laptop or whatever, and throw a wire out, just sit there and listen, you know, just fooling around. I don't really, at this time, need a transmitter, though maybe at some point I would. But I'm sure that there's some people who would want a little QRP, you know, a little 40-meter job or something like that. I think that when we do whatever we do, and we do a buy, I'm sure that there'll probably be some people that are thinking like I am. I want a general coverage receiver, but I'm sure there's other people that are going to want to, you know, something a little different, which is fine. But certainly, we'll all have the same problems when we go to try to make it work. So it doesn't matter whether you've got a radio receiver or whether you've got a transmitter. Once you get going, you'll probably have the same problems, which will mostly be with the computer.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let me drop it. Okay. I think that, you know, the general coverage receiver that's on this site looks pretty good, and their, you know, transceiver looks pretty good as well. So, you know, that might be a good way to start, you know, with those two options, you know, to be part of the group, not break the bank. And, you know, sound interfaces aren't that expensive, $20 to $50. I mean, if you buy a pay list price, you can pay $50 for a Creative Labs thing. I've actually seen Jerry tow his around, but that's very, very cool. Alrighty, any more on this from anybody? Okay, well, stay tuned. You know, Jim, take the website that I sent you and maybe And also, I'll send you the list of stuff that Dave is going to send to me. And maybe you could put that in the next Barra bulletin, and along with an option list, and get a bunch of guys together, and we can get a. And maybe someone can make a phone call to one of these companies, to the company that's selling these things, and ask them what their availability is. And yeah, go for it. You know, it's Christmas time. The club does subsidize half the cost of the kits if they're built at kid night, at least partially anyway. So I think that's something to think about as well. They subsidize half the price up to $100. So you can buy a $200 radio and have half of it paid for by the club, which is pretty cool. For my question, Jim, is going to be, does that include the Creative Labs sound card interface? I think that's part of the integrated end-to-end radio, don't you think?
Yeah, well, hey, you could try it. What the heck? Actually, there's not been a whole lot of people take advantage of that. But we did do a group back a few years ago where we all built a kit LDG antenna tuner. It was a whole bunch of us, and of course the club paid for half of it. But yeah, I think it'll work out good, and I think that once we get going, I think there'll be a lot of people who want to get in on it, and certainly it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, very good. Very good. I'm going to spend some time talking it up in the next couple of weeks, and, you know, I think that would be most excellent to see. If there are any lockout nights coming up on Tuesdays where the club is unable to get to their normal hiding spot, and you want to use St. John's basement in Bergenfield on a Tuesday night, hi, I think that would make an excellent thing. Maybe we get Jerry to come down with his and show everybody, including the kids, what a software defined radio would sound like, and I can bring a transceiver down to, you know, to talk to it, and we could have an HF conversation across the basement, you know, into dummy loads or something. I think that'd be really kind of cool, just to get people accustomed to the look and feel of a SDR as opposed to, let's say, an IC7000.
Yeah, well, Jerry has done a little bit of that. We did had a presentation, but let's see. I guess we've got a couple of days coming up. I got to go look at the schedule. Actually, it's on the Barra website as far as all of these, at least for this year of the kid nights. And I guess there's a couple coming up in the holiday that will be out on, you know, on Tuesday. But so far so good.
Well, if you'd like to fill in one, I mean, Jerry's done demonstrations mostly at club meetings, and they're pretty short because of the necessity of a club meeting. Whereas in a kit night format, you can actually kind of, that is the program, you don't have to worry about any of the other stuff. So I think it might be good to have a transceiver. Maybe Dave could bring one of his and communicate with a standard transceiver and show members of the club and maybe some scouts. We now have a Venture Crew 7373, by the way, focused on radio communications, emergency communications, things like that. You know, that might be something for them to chew on as well. And who knows, maybe Barra will get some young members out of it. So just let me know the dates if you want to have the event anyway. Just not in Washington Township, we can arrange for it. Alrighty, I'm going to throw it back to Jim for any last ones, and then if anyone else in the comments, they can follow Jim. Just check in, K2ZO, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, K2ZO. Okay, I'll double-check those dates and let you know, Gordon. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? I'm sorry, somebody transmitted, didn't make the repeater. Yeah, W1SAX. Okay, I'm listening to you on the input. The repeater uses a 141.3 PL. Can you program that in? Yeah, no problem. We'll stand by for you. It's a 141.3 PL. W1SAX, K2BAR, standing by for you. This is guy I run a second radio on a really, really big antenna. I wonder where he is. He's probably like in Clifton or something. Not very far away, or Westwood, but he's a W1, and he's